I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. We continue our look at the life and legacy of Congressman John Lewis, who died Friday at the age of 80, the same day the world lost another civil rights leader, Reverend C.T. Vivian. Congressman Lewis was known for many things in his long career. He was a civil rights legend who led the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and he spoke at the historic March on Washington in 1963. He was a member of Congress who represented Georgia's 5th Congressional District for more than three decades and fought for voting rights until the very end. But Congressman Lewis also had a deeply creative side. Just a few years ago, he co-authored an award-winning autobiographical graphic novel trilogy called March, which chronicled America's struggle for civil rights. Here he is speaking on The Takeaway in 2016.
Andrew Iden suggested to me that I should write a comic book. I was reluctant, but he convinced me, and I finally said, yes, if you would do it with me. And it reminded me that when I was about 17 and a half, almost 18, I guess, that I read a comic book called Martin Luther King Jr. and the Montgomery Story that told the story of the Montgomery bus boycott. And this little comic book inspired me and many other young people to get involved in the civil rights movement.
I'm joined now by Andrew Iden, the co-author of the March trilogy with Congressman Lewis and graphic novelist Nate Powell. Andrew also served as digital director and policy advisor to Congressman Lewis. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tanzina. Thank you so much for having me.
How did the March graphic novel trilogy come together? We heard a little bit from Congressman Lewis at the top, but tell us when you got involved.
Yeah, first, I can't hear his voice without tearing up a little bit, so I'm sorry if I'm a little groggy, but, you know, it was the summer of 2008. I was working on the congressman's reelection campaign, and we were out, and I was hearing the stories of his life from the perspective of being a young person in the movement for the first time. I mean, I'd grown up in his district. He'd been my congressman since I was 3 years old, but I'd never heard those stories until I was sitting with him and listening at his knee, just like so many other young people. And when it came down to the end of that campaign, folks started making fun of me for saying I was going to a comic book convention after the campaign was over. And the congressman said, "Don't laugh. There was a comic book during the movement, and it was incredibly influential." And that sort of set us on our path. That comic book became our guide, as you heard him say. And then we started working. I mean, and we joked. We were like, "Well, we have to work at night because we have day jobs." Which I thought was so funny for him to refer to being a member of Congress as his day job. But that's what we did. We would stay up so late at night. I would interview him. I would ask him questions. Sometimes he would fall asleep. Sometimes I would fall asleep. Sometimes you'd just hear a little snore on the other end of the line. And then you'd be like, "Congressman, wake up." He'd be like, "I'm not sleeping. I'm just resting my eyes." And, you know, we worked for over 2 years before we even found a publisher, because everybody thought we were nuts. And then we worked in the end for 5 years before we even put out a single volume. But, you know, it would be one of those things where we would sort of sneak each other looks or conversations on an elevator when no one was around about, "Hey, you know that story or that picture I just saw? We should make sure that's in the book." And we did that. We did that for almost a decade. And then
the work was fruitful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's important to understand the context of Martin Luther King and the Montgomery story relative to the comic. It wasn't just that we followed how they made the comic. It was that we followed Dr. King and Jim Lawson's example with how they distributed the comic and how they got their message out through the comic. Jim Lawson, who was also Congressman Lewis's mentor in Nashville, he embarked on what they called a reconciliation tour, which was basically a series of nonviolent workshops that he gave throughout the South and as far north as Oklahoma. And those helped create the climate and the environment in the early days for the sit-in movement. And so he would go, he would give the nonviolence workshop, and then he would hand out the comic book afterwards so that the young people had something to read and also to take with them and pass on and learn and study. And so that's what we did. I mean, we spent maybe 50 to 75 days a year on the road doing events, talking to kids. We went to visit incarcerated youth in places like Washington and Cook County and Chicago and around the country. We would go and speak at the American Library Association. We would go and speak at Comic-Con. I mean, he cosplayed as himself. He was trying to do everything he could to dramatize this conflict so that he could teach this generation about nonviolence and about their power. And I think as he looked around at what was happening right now, I think he saw that it was worth it, worked, that he did it, that he created the climate and the environment for young people to stand up and speak up and speak out as he'd been trying to urge them to do for so many years. And that was him embracing these outside of the box ideas, these ideas that folks didn't fully understand at the time, that because they were ahead of their time, and using them to push America forward.
And ultimately, March Book 3, which was the third installment of the trilogy, became the first graphic novel, Andrew, as you know, to win the National Book Award for Young People's Literature in 2016. I'm going to play some of Congressman Lewis's speech that night.
And I remember in 1956, when I was 16 years old, with some of my brothers and sisters and cousins, going down to the public library, trying to get library cards. And we were told that the libraries were whites only and not for colors. And to come here and receive this award, this honor for this, it's too much. Thank you.
Andrew, we've got about a minute left in this segment. What do you recall from that night?
I remember a lot of tears. We knew we had to be there. It was right after the election, and we were really struggling because of what had happened. And we knew we had to be there. And so we went, we took the train up, and we get there that night, and we put on our tuxes, and we're sitting at the table, and I remember holding hands because we didn't want to believe it would happen until it happened. And then when it did, and Catherine Patterson, who the author, gave us the award, we were crying and we hugged. And I remember the congressman said, if you never do another thing, you've done enough.
We're now joined by Dr. Sheena Howard, Associate Professor of Communications at Rider University and author of Black Comics, Politics of Race and Representation. Sheena, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So comics, Sheena, and graphic novels have historically, not surprisingly, been a medium dominated by white men. How has that changed in recent years?
Well, I think around, 2013, when the first March book actually came out, there was a shift. There was a real convergence in the comics world where a lot of different African Americans in different spaces and in different parts of the community were coming together to write comics and graphic novels. And also it really began to take off in academe, and comic scholarship began to be taken seriously. So in the last 10 years, there's been great interest and convergence with the medium.
Andrew, you co-authored March with Congressman Lewis, as we talked about in the previous segment. And I'm wondering, in terms of nonfiction, what is it that graphic novels can do that other mediums don't?
It's a total shift from the perspective of the viewer, right? I mean, when you're talking about prose, you're not showing, you're telling. But when you're in a graphic novel, you're showing. But when you compare that to a documentary, you go from the third person to the first person. So as the congressman would say, it's like you're there. It's like you're in the moment, and it allows this more fully immersive experience for the reader that creates a greater depth of understanding. But it also takes a different kind of scholarship to write nonfiction graphic novels, which I think is something we're just starting to fully understand, that you have to get a different kind of detail than you do if you write a prose book or you do a documentary.
Sheena, let's dig into that a little bit, because you've actually studied comics and graphic storytelling, particularly with Black creatives. Was there anything in the March trilogy that stood out to you in the way that it used that medium?
I mean, for me, March really highlighted, one, of course, John Lewis's commitment to nonviolence and the power of it. But also, I think one of the things the book showed is white violence. And I think white violence is not something in the media that we focus on or gets enough attention. And we really get to see through the visuals and the writing of this particular trilogy, how one can be committed to nonviolence, but also the historical white violence that has been perpetuated and continues to happen in this country.
And, Sheena, we're seeing nonfiction graphic novels like Mouse and the March Trilogy being used in the classroom. How can those be most effectively used, how graphic novels over traditional textbooks even? Because we know that there have been, mm-hmm. we had a segment recently about just how much our textbooks have failed us historically.
Right. So there's a lot of great literature and research that shows that graphic novels and comics have been teaching kids to read. It's a very effective medium in bringing young kids in to help them to learn to read. There are a number of kids that I meet that say, you know, I learned to read reading comics and graphic novels because it brings them in a different way. You know, kids might not intuitively be interested in an autobiography or a biography that's a historical account of something. But when you add those visuals, it hooks them in. And they're still getting the same information, but they're getting it in a much more interactive and engaging way. And I think that's why it's been so well-received, particularly at the high school level and the grade school level.
Andrew, you talked a lot about that in the previous segment, just about how Congressman Lewis wanted this taught across the schools. He did everything he could. I'm wondering how the March Trilogy broke ground for others in the graphic novel and comics industry.
I think March has opened the door to a whole new generation of creators and stories. Right now, you're seeing graphic novels be published that would have never been published before. So whether it's David Walker with his autobiography of Frederick Douglass or his Black Panther graphic novels or the Black Panther Party graphic novel, or it's folks like Nick Susannis who are looking at these in-depth studies of how you use sequential narrative to tell stories with a greater information load. On all sides of the spectrum, graphic novels have expanded, and even on a dollar-to-dollar sense, year over year, the industry just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But these were not comics that were being published before March. It wasn't until mm-hmm. the largely white publishing industry saw that there was money to be made. This isn't necessarily just a moral stand, but I think what's so beautiful is that you have creators who are finally doing their dream projects, the stories that have lived in their hearts, but only now can finally come to the page that we're seeing in bookstores.
Sheena, to that point, we know it is about the money, but also are you seeing more opportunities, both on in terms of those who are able to create, to Andrew's point, but also is this opening doors for new audiences to have these types of stories told to a broader audience?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just seeing so much convergence, again, particularly since 2013, 2014, where people in different industries are actually engaging with comics. And it just makes the potential for the medium so much more vast going forward. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, Ta-Nehisi Coates writes Black Panther, coming from like a journalist background. Andrew mentioned David Walker now doing, you know, this graphic novel on Frederick Douglass. Even these African-American creators and artists who may have been writing, you know, fiction in the past are now feeling and having license to now write nonfiction and feel comfortable doing that, and also being supported by publishers. And some very good publishers out there that have a specific focus on publishing historical accounts of graphic novels.
I'd love to. I mean, I'm honestly not as well versed in the world of graphic novels. So this is really, I mean, one of the things that struck me about March was just how gorgeous it was to look at. Andrew, the visuals in this graphic novel were stunning.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to give all the credit to Nate Powell. Nate Powell is one of the finest graphic novelists of his generation. And I think that was something that the congressman and I often talked about, which is that each of us had a very important role to play, and the graphic novel wouldn't have been possible, not the success it had, without all three of us bringing every bit of talent that we had to the books. And Nate's art, you know, it's already hung in museums that had never had graphic novel art on the wall before, and I think it's just the beginning. And so I think that's another piece that we have to talk about, which is how do we mentor and shepherd the careers of young comic artists, because the industry is very difficult and they make very little money. And unless they have a hit like March, it's very difficult to survive.
We've got a less than a minute left, Andrew, but should we expect more of the March series in the future?
You know, I don't have dates or specifics or anything like that, but the congressman and I were working on a sequel to March called Run, because first you march and then you run. And we're hoping to have some news about that soon.
Well, we'll be paying attention. Andrew Iden is the co-author of the March Trilogy with Congressman John Lewis, and Dr. Sheena Howard is Associate Professor of Communications at Rider University and author of Black Comics, Politics of Race and Representation. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.